So we got two solid rock preachers today that are going to be preaching for us. Just want to say this, talking about the broad way and the narrow way. I had a truck driver tell me this. He said, I figured out why the broad way is the way leading to hell and the narrow way is leading to heaven. He said, you can't turn around unless you got a wide place. And when you get on the narrow way, there ain't room to turn around to go back. Makes pretty good sense, don't it? I love this man. I appreciate his exhortation. Appreciate his love for the Lord. He's going to take about 30 minutes. Preach to us, brother. I love you. Appreciate you.
I reckon I better get me some of that water. I done learned from Brother Jerry. You ever watch American Ninja Warrior? Them first runner, first one or two runs, they got the disadvantage of not knowing what others that come after them know. So I've done learned I need to tank up here. I tell you, it's hard to improve on what we're getting this morning, isn't it? I appreciate God's mercies. I appreciate His kindnesses. I love Taylorsville Camp Meeting. And I love the Lord that has been good to me so often here in this place. Brother Steve was talking about being a servant. Brother Jerry's talking about being a servant. And I've found these men to be servants to us and their churches to be servants to us who come in and visit. And I'm so very grateful for it. When I get in meetings like this, the Lord just keeps reminding me of how He's loving me through His people. When you go through the line over there today, that's not just Calvary Baptist Church doing that. That's your Lord that saved you, loving you. And that room that you have to go to this afternoon and get out of the heat, that's not just Calvary Baptist Church and these other churches in the area. Doing that, that's your Lord who saved you, is loving you. When these men of God preach and the Lord touches them, that's not just these men. That's our God who has saved us. He's loving us. The Lord loves us and He loves us through His people. I want to thank God for Brother Steve. I want to thank God for Brother Rule. Brother Jamie, a man in our area, got up in the camp meeting recently and said, I appreciate these younger men in the meeting. And I got up and I said, I want to thank God for these gray-headed men. They've been through the battle, been through the valley, fought hell by the acres, come out on the other side with joy and victory and a story to tell. And by that have encouraged me to run the race. And I thank the Lord for it. I want to ask you to open the Word of God with me this morning to Psalm 65. Psalm 65. Pick up reading in verse number 5. Read down through verse number 13. A little thought on my heart has been warming me the last couple of days. And I want to just try to exhort you and encourage you. By terrible things in righteousness wilt thou answer us, O God of our salvation, who are the confidence of all the ends of the earth and of them that are afar off upon the sea, which by His strength setteth fast the mountains, being girded with power, which stilleth the noise of the seas, the noise of their waves, and the tumult of the people. They also that dwell in the uttermost parts are afraid of thy tokens. Thou makest the outgoings of the morning and the evening to rejoice. Thou visitest the earth and waterest it. Thou greatly enrichest it with the river of God, which is full of water. Thou preparest them corn when thou hast so provided for it. Thou waterest the ridges thereof abundantly. Thou settlest the furrows thereof. Thou makest it soft with showers. Thou blessest the springing thereof. Thou crownest the year with thy goodness. Thy paths drop fatness. They drop upon the pastures of the wilderness, and the little hills rejoice on every side. The pastures are clothed with flocks, and here's what I'm interested in this morning. The valleys also are covered over with corn. They shout for joy. They also sing. Oftentimes, in the Scripture, we get valuable lessons from the natural realm. The prophets were apt to use lessons from nature to teach us spiritual truths. The Lord Jesus was a master at it. You hear him often talk about birds, flowers. You hear him talking about sheep and goats. You hear him talking about seeds, corn. One of the greatest messages ever preached, our Lord preached one time on dirt. Those different kinds of soil. David would often do that in his writings. And in the Psalms, we're often taken outdoors. And the Lord teaches us something, some valuable truths. His ways in our life by paralleling them to his ways in nature. And I'm interested this morning in that little statement in verse number 13, where he said, the valleys are covered over with corn. I don't know if you've ever been in a valley. You've ever had a valley? We've heard about the valleys this morning. I want to thank God for everything that the Lord does for me in the valley. The valleys are covered over with corn. There's something to be gained in the valleys. There's something that God's doing in your life and in my life in the valley. There's something the Lord is growing in our lives in the valley. I remember several years ago, the Lord seemed to say to me one day, Stacy, you ought to quit trying to get out of your trouble and see what you can get out of your trouble. Amen. There's a whole lot that God's a doing for us and doing with us, doing to us in the valley. I live in Burke County, North Carolina, and within sight of our home, we can see several major peaks in western North Carolina. Mount Mitchell, Grandfather Mountain, Table Rock, Hawksbill, High Peak. Amen. I've been up on Mount Mitchell several times. Don't know how many times I've ever been there, but I've never been up on Mount Mitchell and seen the corn growing. But I rode along the Catawba River and the South Toll River, and I've seen what they call the bottomlands and the lowlands. And I've seen an awful lot of corn growing down yonder in them low places. I just want to remind you that's where the corns are growing this morning. Remind you that's where God's doing something special in your life. God's doing something that's going to take care of you down the road. God's doing something that's going to nourish somebody else. You can't give anybody any corn if God hadn't grown some corn in your life. And the only place the corn grows is down in the valleys. I think about what Tom Eliff said on one occasion. Nearly knocked me out of my seat when I heard him say, a problem is an indication from God that he has a blessing for us that we've been too blind to ask him for. A problem is an indication from God that he has a blessing for us that we've been too blind to ask him for. It's down yonder in the valley that God's a putting something in your life that he's going to use to be a help to somebody else along the way. Paul said it like this: He comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them and others who are in any other kind of trouble with the same comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. The old Scottish preacher Robert Murray McShane, what a spiritual giant he was, died as a young man. He made this statement on one occasion. He said, "My soul, forget not the place of thy prostration." He said, "It has forever been thy robing room for royalty." Whatever it is that God is using to bring you low this morning is exactly what God is using to make you rich. What God is using to make you royal. What God is using to lift you, to strengthen you. What God is going to use to you can use in somebody else's life and be a blessing to somebody else along the way. The psalmist said in Psalm 81 verse 16, "There's honey in the rock." Oh, you don't expect that's where you get honey. But that's exactly where it's to be found this morning, in the hard place, in that difficult place. That's where the sweetness of the Lord is found. That's where the strength of God is found. That's where the goodness of God is discovered. That's where God manifests Himself. When everybody else has walked out, He comes a-walking in. When you feel at your worst, He's at His best. When you're as low as you can get, He's at His highest. God is good in the valley. God is great in the valley. That's when God's a putting the corn in your life. That's when God's a putting something in your life that you can't get anywhere else. Not on the mountaintop, but down yonder in the valley. When you don't even have the strength to do for yourself, God comes and does for you. And He lifts you up above the shadows just for a little while and lets you dwell in Beulah land. The valleys are covered over with corn. Somebody said, "I sure would love to have the touch of God like that man has on his life." You may not want to go through the hell that man's been through for God to touch him and use him like He uses him. Oh, somebody said, "I want the Lord, want people to see the Lord in my life." Would you really? Because if He manifests Himself, He's going to crush you and crush me and push us out of the way. And all that can be seen is what's left, and the only thing that is left is God. The valleys are covered over with corn. I think about what Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I love this statement. When he said, "Our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us." He didn't say it's against us. He said it's for us. Amen. I know hell's against us this morning. I know the devil's against us, and there's a whole lot against us, but I'm glad there's something for us today. The providence of God, the sovereignty of God, the love of God, the purposes of God, it's for us this morning. And He's working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. It's amazing. Paul said, "You take it all." It's almost like a scales. On one side, you put all the heartache and the trouble and the disappointment and the misfortune and the heartbreak. Lay it all on one side, and oh, it's heavy. Some days it gets heavy. Spurgeon said, "There's dungeons in the castle of despair to which the light of day never comes." And he said, "Some of us have been there." Oh, it gets dark sometimes along the way. But Paul said on the other side of the scales, he said, "Thank God I lay down over there what He's a-working for me, what He's a-doing for me, what He's accomplishing in spite of the light affliction." Isn't it amazing? You can measure your affliction and your trouble, but you can't measure what God's a-doing through it. Worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. He said it's just light. He said it's just momentary. It's just a little while. But what God's a-doing, He's putting eternity in you. He's putting something eternal inside of you that'll never die, that'll live on. Listen, Peter said it like this: God of glory that's called us, or the God of all grace that's called us unto His eternal glory. Listen now. After that you've suffered a while. After that you've suffered a while. Make you perfect. Huh? Establish, strengthen, and settle you. You know what that word perfect means? It just simply means God's making me what I ought to be. Oh, we say we want to be like Jesus. Oh, do we really? Best way I can discover, that's the only way God has of making us like the Lord Jesus. As an old feller said, up the mountains run you through hell sideways. I don't know how sideways can be any different than just running straight forward, but it does sound like it's a little bit worse, doesn't it? Any kind of hell is hell, it's all bad, ain't it? But to go through sideways, Peter said, after you've suffered a while, just after you've bled a while, after you've hurt a while, after you've been wounded, he said, that's when God's going to make you what you ought to be. You know what Tozer said? He said, before God can ever use a man greatly, he said he's got to hurt that man deeply. He's got to wound that man deeply. And after you've suffered a while, Peter said he's going to make you perfect, make you what he wants you to be. He's going to establish you. He's going to fix you. He's going to put something in you that'll give you some stickability. He's going to confirm you and put your feet firm on the ground. That's what travels and trials do. Isn't it amazing how they seem to get rid of what isn't necessary? Paul was on his way to Rome in that ship, and the storm came, that Euroclidon. Bible said they started tossing over everything that was expendable, everything that wasn't necessary, everything that wasn't essential. That's exactly what God does in the midst of the storm, in the midst of the trial. Seem like you shuck everything that don't matter, and you start trying to grab hold of the only thing that does matter, and that's the will of God, and the purpose of God, and the grace of God, and the wisdom of God, and the sovereignty of God, and the goodness of God, and the love of God. That's the only thing that'll hold you through it all. He's going to establish you. He's going to strengthen you. He's going to settle you. That's what God's a-doing. Oh, listen, Paul had a thorn that come in his life. You remember that in 2 Corinthians chapter 12? And he prayed about it. I think that's wise. Talked to God about it. I heard an old preacher say years ago, said when you pray, God's going to say one of three things to you. He's going to say yes or no, or you got to be kidding. Paul prayed. God said, I got good news and I got bad news, Paul. What do you want first? He said, the bad news. And he said, I ain't going to take your thorn. I ain't going to take it out of your life. But the good news is I'm going to get in it. My grace is sufficient for thee. Paul learned to quit trying to get out of it and see what he could get out of it. Why? The valleys are covered over with corn. That's where the strength of God was discovered in that man's life. That's where the power of God was communicated into his life. He said to him, my strength is made perfect in weakness. It's accomplished in weakness. It's fulfilled in weakness. It's manifested in weakness. When you can't, Jesus said, I can, Paul. And when you won't, Jesus said, I will. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Don't you know that hurt him? Oh, that thorn made him bleed. Can I tell you something this morning? The Lord wants me to remind you, whatever's a killing you is the best thing you got going for you. Whatever's making you bleed this morning is the best thing you got going for you. Why? That's your ticket to crawl up in the lap of the Lord Jesus and tell him all about it. Lean your head over on his bosom. Thank God, hear the heartbeat of sovereignty. Lay way back in the rock of ages. And let God be what he said he'd always be. The eternal God is our refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. Thank God this morning we got a Father that knows exactly where we are. He knows exactly what's going on. And I got a sneaking suspicion he's behind every bit of it. Want to give the devil credit for everything happening in Job's life, you got to remember it's God that initiated all of that. It wasn't even the devil's idea. sir. Why? Satan come in the presence of God, and the Lord said, what you been up to? And he said, running to and fro on all the earth. And we're still about satanic activity today, aren't we? And he said to him, this was God's idea. He said, have you looked at Job? And all your travelings and your goings about, have you ever looked at my servant Job? Why, he said, you got to be kidding. You know I've looked him up and down, in and out, all over. He said, you got him wrapped up. You got him hemmed in. He said, you got him hedged in. I can't get to him. Sure would love to do something. And God said, all right, here's what we'll do. Everything that happened to Job had already been discussed in heaven. Everything that came apart in Job's life had already been discussed in heaven. God had settled it all from the beginning. It was God that initiated it. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Everything that's happening to you is Father filtered this morning. And before it was all said and done, you know what Job was able to say? The valleys are covered over with corn. He come out on the other side, not just with 10 more children, not just with more camels and asses, and not just with more riches, but he come out on the other side with a greater grip on God. He come out on the other side with a deeper knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, mine eye seeth thee. I've heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. He come out on the other side knowing God, knowing that God's able, knowing that God's sufficient, and knowing that when he's tried me, I shall come forth as gold. I think the best example, thank God, is old Joseph. You won't talk about the corn business. Old Joe got to the corn, thank God. Hey, he stayed with God long enough till the corn came in. You know what happens to most of us? We jump out before the corn comes, Brother Steve. Oh, God, help us to wait till the corn comes. All those 15 or 20 years. One setback after another, one heartache after another, misfortune, misunderstanding, mistreatment by his own, by strangers, by everybody that touched Joseph, they hurt him. Everything anybody did to Joseph was just to hurt him more than he'd been hurt the time before. But behind all of their hands was the invisible hand of God. Hey, thank God to get him to where he needed him to be, to get him to the corn. Not just for his benefit, but so that somebody would come when they was hungry. Joseph had some corn on hand. He had some corn in the bins. And he said, I got just what you need. I know what you need. I've been where you've been. And he said, God's met me and give me some corn. Down yonder in Genesis chapter 39, you remember what happened? I mean, life was the pits. It's just the pits, Bubba Jerry. What do you do when life is the pitch? You just lay there and bleed and wait on God. Amen. He'll be around to you after a while. Down in Atlanta, around the perimeter. Brother Joe, you know this. They got them hero units. They say if you ever break down, there's a camera on every square inch of that place. Looking at it, if you ever break down, don't you move. Don't you go nowhere. You sit right still. Somebody's already seen you and they're on their way. And they'll get to you, and they'll help you, and they'll jump you off, and they'll get you out of harm's way. They'll get you back to running again. And sometimes in the race of life, you break down in the middle of the road. I want you to know he knows where you're at. He's got his eye on you this morning, and help's on the way. He's already headed in your direction. Help's on the way. He'll get to you. Joseph was down yonder in the pit. You remember what happened? Three times the Bible said the Lord was with him. The Lord was with him. You know what was going on? God was making some corn. God was building some things in his life so that he could rule one day. So that he could stand before the very people that had done everything to him that they'd done. And he's able to say, here, I got something for you that God gave me. And he did it. Brothers came before him. You don't know when you pass the test. You don't know when you pass the test is when you can look at them and you can say, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. You did what you did, but behind everything you was doing, God was doing something better. God was doing something bigger. God was doing something eternal. I want to tell you right now, if God hadn't have been down yonder in the prison with old Joseph, there'd have never been a Lord Jesus. Did you know that? God was preserving that line. God kept that man and kept that line, kept that nation, so that some 2,000 years later, guess what? There came an angel in the midnight hour, saying, unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Amen. It all, God did it all back yonder through Joseph. He kept him. He kept him in the pit. He stayed with God till he got to the corn. Well, there's corn in the valleys, folks. There's something down yonder in it. Listen at this text in Isaiah 65, verse number 8. I heard a good Pentecostal use this one time, and I said, I like it. Amen. Isaiah 65, 8, he said, thus saith the Lord, as the new wine is found in the cluster, and one saith, destroy it not. Why? For a blessing is in it. So will I do for my servant's sake, that I may not destroy them all. God, he was being tempted and provoked to destroy his nation because of their rebellion, their idolatry, and their waywardness. But God said, I ain't going to do it. There's a blessing in it. There's still something in them. There's still something there. And wherever you're at this morning, there's a blessing in it. Amen. God's doing something in it. Amen. God's got something for you through it. Amen. Down in Enterprise, Alabama. That's Lower Alabama. Went through there one time on the way to the coast. I read this, and I when I was going through town, I said, I think this is the town where this is, and I went and looked. It's the only place in the world where they've got a monument erected to an agricultural pest, a boll weevil. Back in 1915, the boll weevil hit the cotton crops in South Alabama. Wasn't a matter but 3, 4, 5 years, it totally destroyed the cotton industry. But there's one old fellow by the name of Sessions, he saw it that first year. He began to diversify. And he convinced another farmer by the name of Baston to experiment with peanut farming. Raised enough that first year to pay all their debts. And the rest is history. And it wasn't mad, but a matter of a couple of years, everybody got out of the cotton business and got into the peanut farming business. And by 1919, within 5 years, they had enough sense to realize, thank God for the boll weevil. It had destroyed them and just about wrecked them financially. But in a matter of time, it actually became a means of making most of them wealthy. They found out where there's travesty, there's a blessing in it. They found out where there's defeat, there can be victory. They found out where there's weakness, there can be strength. They found out in the valley, there's corn. I read about a gold miner. Back in the days of gold mining, prospector was out there. Storm came down out of the mountains. Flood ran by, washed away his whole house, took away everything he owned. I mean, just washed it all down river. And when the water began to get down and subside, he stood out there weeping and wondering what in the world is going to do. Everything he ever had, that's why he went out there to try to discover his riches, and it wasn't to be found. When the water began to get down, he looked over into the side of the bank of the river. Is that what I think it is? He looked. Little did he realize the flood had exposed a gold vein that he'd been looking for the whole time, and he couldn't find it. It took the destruction to make it visible. It took the heartbreak to bring it into his life. The valleys are covered over with corn, beloved. The valleys are covered over with corn. Thank God for every trial. Through it all. Through it all. I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust His Word. Understand it isn't that God's trying to make you rich financially, but God's trying to enrich your soul. He's trying to develop faith. He's trying to put hope. He's trying to put humility. He's trying to put glory in your soul so that when somebody else comes along and they enter into the valley, you've made a well. You dug a well and you found something in the valley. And you're able to say, if you'll go over yonder, there's a hole. I know exactly where you can get a fresh drink of water. Just like God met you, you'll be able to say to them, that's where the Lord can help you. The valleys are covered over with corn.